last week's Sedra, Parshas Shlach. Right, the beginning of the Sedra, Moshe is sending the spies. Vishlach osam Moshe mibar paran al pi Hashem kulam anashim rashi v'nei Israel heima. Rashi says kulam anashim, kol anashim shemikra lashon chashivas. These were chashiv people. Ve'osa shak sherim hayu. At the beginning, simple pshat, oto shat, that time, that hour, they were ksherim. And then afterwards, they, of course, went off. So those of you who enjoy a little bit of mathematics, it's in word from the Yitzhak Harif. It says like this. We know that the spies were 40 days in Eretz Yisrael. And accordingly, they were punished, Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana. For every day that they were spying out Eretz Yisrael, they were punished for 1 year in the desert. So 40 days, can I get that? There are 40 years in the desert. So if you make a cheshbon, the days to the years, so it comes out, how many hours is 40 days? 40 times 24 is 960. Right? And how many months is 40 years? 40 times 12, 480. So therefore, if you take 480 divided from 960, so it's a half. So therefore, it comes out that every hour that they were in Eretz Yisrael, they had to stay half a month in the desert. That's the cheshbon. For every hour of their spying out, which they did incorrectly, they had to spend a half a month, 2 weeks, whatever, in the desert. That turns into 40 years. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you make the cheshbon, they were not exactly 40 years in the desert. They're missing a few days over there. How so? So first of all, when did they leave Egypt? Tesvav Nisan. So if they would have come into Eretz Yisrael on the 14th of Nisan, that would be like a full, 40 years. But they did it. They came in with Yeshua on Yud Nisan. So they're missing 4 days there. So they weren't really 40 years in the desert. They're missing 4 days. And you can't really include in the punishment 11 other days because they had to be sometime, they were traveling to Eretz Yisrael. It had to be sometime to get to Eretz Yisrael. How long is that? 11 days. Achadasar Yom Mechor, right? They needed anyways 11 days to travel anyway. So that can't be, that's not part of the cheshbon of the punishment. So therefore we have 11 and 4, 4 days, 11 days and 4 days, that's 15 days which were not part of the cheshbon. So 15 days is what? That's half a month. So it comes out that half a month they were not really deserving to be punished for. They weren't that full 40 days, the 40 years of punishment. It was really less 2 weeks, which is like 15 days. So Mela, we said before that 1 hour is 15 days. And Mela, that's why Rashi says, Ba'oso Shah Ksherim Hayu. The first hour, they were kosher. And Mela, 1 hour, just 15 days, they is not part of the cheshbon. So it comes out, they were exactly the round amount of time in the desert, connected the 23 hours, but the 40 days left, less the 1 hour. Okay. So Stipler used to say that used to complain that nowadays we don't have Megidim, the Magi that they used to have in those days. Now people sitting in front of tape recorders in a comfortable base measure. But in those days they used to have used to go from shul to shul and give like drushes and darshan psukim and give musr whatever to the yam. And that was a Magi. And he said, we don't have it. He says, I remember, Stipler said, when I was a kid, my mother sent me once to the shul to hear one of these Magidim. So he said, I'll never forget one of the drushes that he said once. He was talking in Parshat Shlach. And on the Pasuk, Lematei, Yosef, Lematei, Menashe, Gadi, Ben Susi. Right? And from the tribe of Menashe was Gadi, the son of Susi. That was he was the spy from that tribe. So he said that he darshan out the pasuk the following way. Lemate is like lamata. So he said, when the neshama sent down lamata, so what is it? Lamata Yosef. Why is he sent down for? Yosef to Osef, to gather Torah mitzvahs. Lamate Yosef is sent down to gather the mitzvahs. But unfortunately, what does he do? Lemate Menashe. Menashe is lashon nashani elokim, means to forget. instead of coming down and doing Torah mitzvahs, he forgets his purpose and he involves himself with all kinds of shtiyot and worldly matters instead of doing Torah mitzvahs. So instead of milamateh Yosef, he's milamateh menasheh. Then he said, Gadi, as in Tagi, tell me. Ben Susi, isn't he a sus? He's a horse. So acting like a human being, he's more involved in some worldly thing. He's like a horse. Gadi, tell me. Ben Susi, isn't he like a sus? So it reminds me of a joke. There's once a manager of a circus, and he was gets a call one day. So on the other line, someone hears, says, yes, I'd like to try out for your circus and perform for you, you know. So the manager says, okay, what do you have to offer? She says, I have an unbelievable attraction for you. He says, no, what is it? So the voice says on the other line, I can say a children's poem, like a children's poem, by heart. So the circus manager's like, there are bigger attractions, you know, in my circus. You know, guy, if his deal, he could say, you know, a poem by heart. So he says, no, wait, I'm not finished. I can also say it backwards, forwards, you know, from the end to the beginning. So again, the manager says, you know, okay, you know, very nice, but you know, elephant standing on their head, things like that, okay, you know, but saying a nursery rhyme, you know, backwards and forth, you know, sorry, that just, it's just not going to do it, I'm sorry. And he hangs up on him. So the one that made the call says, oh, I'm so silly, I forgot to tell him that I'm a horse. Okay. Pasuk says, "Vayikra Moshea Leoshea Ben Nun Yehoshua." So the famous Yonasan Ben Uzio with a lot of drushes about. We'll mention a couple of them. That Yonasan Ben Uzio says that when Moshe saw the humility of Yeshua, he added the yud to his name. He davened for him, added yud to his name, and from Hoshea, Yeshua. So. What's the idea that Moshe saw this anivus, and if he saw this humility of Yeshua, that he's such a tzaddik and humble, so why did he have to daven for him? Left because he saw he was so humble. Why did he have to daven for him? Had a yud? He was a tzaddik. So a sefer called Avodas Yisrael, he says the following: that what did Moshe see? He says Moshe saw the humility. Moshe saw last week's sedra. We've mentioned that last week as well with Eldad Umeidad, right? That they're Misnabi Mamachane. And what was their Nevuah? Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machnis. That Moshe's going to die and Yeshua's going to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So what happened over there last week, Sedra? Yeshua heard this and he said, what? No way. And he goes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Moshe, he says, Adoni Moshe, claim, you know, lock them up, you know, do something to these people. Look what they're saying. They're saying, I'm going to take them in. What? This is what Moshe Rabbeinu saw. Moshe Rabbeinu saw how Yeshua was so humble that he said, I'm not going to take them in. Who am I? You don't want to take them in. So Dafka Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu was worried about. He said, he's so humble, he doesn't want to take the Jewish people in. I'm dafka scared about him, that he's going to come back with a bad report, that he doesn't want to, you know, have to take Klal Yisrael in because of his tremendous humility. And therefore, he had to daven for him out of Yud or whatever to, you know, compensate for this, his extreme humility. Perhaps because of that, he's dafka not wanted to, going to bring back the bad report so that Jewish people go into Eretz Yisrael. It's another pshat from a sefer called Yamin Yosef. He says the following. He says, the Moshe Rabbeinu had the Ruach HaKodesh, he saw that there was this gzeira on the spies. It's a negative gzeira on decree against these people, and he wanted to do something to compensate. So there's Yerushalmi that says in the end of Brachas, it says that there's three people that their sins are forgiven. Who are they? A chasen, you know, when he gets married, and a nasi, and the Chacham. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had the following idea. He says, in order to take the Gezerah off these people, I'll make them all Nesim. Right? I'll make them all Nesim. And then, like the Gemara says, they'll be forgiven for all their sins, because they'll be nisim, and then perhaps the gzera will come off them. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Well, that was fine for everybody except for Yeshua. Why? Because Yeshua was so humble. So he said, me, a nasi, who am I? He refused. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, uh-oh, now what? Like everybody, I was able to make them to a nasi. So they all have their sins forgiven, and then hopefully everything will be okay. I, you know, took the gzera off them. But Yeshua, because of his humility, he didn't want to become a nasi. Now I got to do something else. What did he do? He added a yud to his name. What is that going to do? Because another way of taking off a gezerah is to have your sins forgiven is to Shinui Hashem. So you figure by changing his name, that's the other possibility. So that's why Dafka was Yeshua, because of his humility, says the Targum Yonasan, he Moshe Rabbeinu added a yud to his name. Because he saw that Yeshua, in his humility and not accepting the Messiah, he had to at least change his name. There was once a shul that did some renovations. And the shul was getting too small for the congregation. So they decided to extend. But the way the architectural plans went, they ended up moving the mizrach, you know, the front of the shul out, further out, to make it bigger. So what happened? There's a machloikas broke out. Because there were those people that were sitting in the front row at the mizrach. And now all of a sudden, when we extended the mizrach, they were in the middle of the shul. So they wanted to move up again to the front. So the gabayim said, nothing doing. You're like, you are, why? We're not touching you. You know, this is your seat. We're keeping you where you stay in your seat. Why should you move up to the front? He said, no, we were four in the mizrach, back and forth. So they didn't know what to do. So they brought it to the Rav and to Paskin. So we heard both sides. And his decision was that the gabayim were right, that these people have to stay in their seat, not move up. Why? He brought a raya from this week's Seder. Right? It says that the Moshe Rabbeinu called Hoshea bin Nun Yeshua. So the famous Chazal says, where did this? How did he get this name Yeshua? That Sarai Yemenu, her name was first Sarai, Sin Resh Yud. And then Hashem changed it to Sarah. So he took away the Yud and put a Hey. So the Yud came in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu and complained and said, Hashem, it's not fair. I was in the name of a Tzedekus, you know, in Sarai, and now you took me away. It's not fair. So what did Hashem say? He says, don't worry, Yud. I'll take care of you. You were at the end of the name of a Tzedekus. Now I'm going to put you at the beginning of the name of a Tzedek. Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. You're going to go at the beginning of the name, so don't worry. So said this Rav, now, wait a second, that's very nice, but what about the hay, Hoshea? The hay was first in the name. Now he got pushed in, because the Yud was added, he became second. Did the hay complain, and now he's second? No. So what do we see? He had nothing to complain about since he stayed in his position. He didn't move anywhere in his position. Something's got added to the front. The Mele said the same thing with the shul, right? These people, they're staying in their seat. You can't complain. As long as you're not moving, you have nothing to complain about. Therefore, the Rav said these people have to stay. I once spoke at a Sheva Brachas, and I want to say that Vlav Dafka Raya, right? Why? Because on the title like this, why didn't the hay complain? I said, why didn't he complain? It's not fair. He was first in line, and then the Yudkin. So I want to say like this. There's a famous adage that says that behind every great man, there's a great woman. That's why it's Shabbat Brachos. Right? Behind every great man, there's a great woman. So in Mele, what happened? Hoshea, this man, right? And who came? The Yud. The Yud, where did the Yud come from? Sarai, woman. Okay, so even though the hay now had a yud behind it, but since it was from a good woman, so he said, no problem. If it's a good woman that's behind me, behind every good man is a good woman, he says, I'm okay with that. So in that case, maybe hay didn't complain, but other cases. Okay. There's the parsha of the mafilim. What happened after the whole episode of the spies? And they received their punishment, etc. There was a group of Jews that decided that no, we're going. We're going to Eretz Yisrael anyways. Despite the decree, we're going. And then Moshe Rabbeinu told them, no, don't go up. But they didn't listen, and then they got decimated, destroyed. The Amalekim, the Kanani. So son of the Rambam, his name was Rabbi Avraham, he asked the following kasha. He says, Lechura, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu want to let these people go? So meaning what? He says, what was this basic sin of the spies? The sin was that they shouldn't have sent the spies. They shouldn't. Why not? Because they shouldn't have put in unnecessary hishtadlus. Hashem said go in. They should have gone in and finished. Everything would be okay. But they didn't have trust in Hashem so much. They said, no, we got to check this out, da da da, whatever. They lacked in trust of Hashem. So therefore, they got punished that they had to be 40 years in the desert and then rely on the Kodesh Baruch Hu and learn to rely on the man, etc. They had to see that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control. Fine, so their sin was that they put in, per se, too much ishtadlus. They shouldn't have. They just relied on Hashem. So if that's the case, when these Jews, the Mafilim, when they came along, what did they want to do? He says, Lachur, they wanted to misakin the chait. They said, you know what? Lafech, now we're going to do totally opposite. We're going to go in, no ishtadlus. No spies, no this, no that. We're going to, even though we're supposed to stay in the desert, no, we're going to be moser nefesh, and we're going to go in, and that's it. So, why? To misakin the chait. The whole chait was too much ishtadlus, so we're going to show, no ishtadlus. We're going for it. And by doing that, that would be a tikkun for the chait, and everything would be good. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't go up. Why? So he says the following. He says that when Klal Yisrael came out of Egypt, they were on a tremendously high level. They saw all the Nisim and in Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsu. They came to Har Sinai, Matan Torah. They were on the spitz, like the highest level. So what happened? So then, on their level, to send spies, and that shows a lack of trust. When you're on such a high level, all this is extra ishtadlus. You shouldn't be doing. That's if you're on a high level. But once they suffered the sin of the spies, that brought them down to low levels. Once now on a lower level, now lehefech. Now they said, we're going to go, no ishtadlus. No, the opposite. Now that you're on the low level, you have to do ishtadlus. Now you have to set standard. You have to. You can't just go in. Oh, now we trust in Hashem. No, that's for people that are on high levels. You're on a low level now. Now you have to do ishtadlus. If you just go in blindly like that, that's foolishness. A tzaddi can do this. Somebody who's on a very high level can do that. But if you're on a low level and you're acting like you're on a high level, he said that's not. That's called relying on a nais. That's called acting like a fool. And Mimeil, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, that was fine, we should have acted like this originally when we were on a high level. But now they're on a low level by acting like this. That's you can't do that. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said no, and they didn't listen, they got decimated. So we see from here that famous Vor, Bali Musar say that the person's ishtadlus is all dependent upon his level. The person that's on a high level, ain't a chanami. He's not supposed to do so much ishtadlus. Because he's on a very high level in his reliance on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Somebody on a lower level, the lower level you are, the more ishtadlus you have to do. So what you do isn't called relying on an ace. So that's the lesson we see from the Mafilim. It's a Pele Yoetz, which is a real Pele, pun intended, that he says a Taich in the Gemara. You probably heard the Gemara passing, but the Taich is unbelievable. It says the following. The Gemara is in Brachas. The Gemara says over there, on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, says there was once a chassid, and he was davening. So some tsar, some minister, whatever, from the government, a high-ranking official, came up to this yid while he was davening Shemoneh Esrei, and he said, Shalom. But the yid didn't answer. Why? He was davening. So he waited till he finished davening. When he finished davening, he said, you idiot. He said to the Jew, he says, how could you not answer me? I said shalom to you, And it says in your Torah, v'nishmarta me'od l'nafshal seichem, you have to protect protect yourself. I could have, what would happen? I would have pulled out my sword and just chopped your head off. I could have done that and I wouldn't have said anything because you were, defiant. I said shalom to you, didn't answer. How could you just, mafki your life like that? So what did the Yid answer, the Chassid? He said, calm down, I want to appease you. He says, okay, go ahead, try me. So he says, okay. He says, now tell me something, Mr. Tsar. Let's say you were talking to the king. Yeah, and he said, and then your friend said, hey, called you and said, Shai, how you doing? He said, would you answer him? He said, no, of course not. I'm talking to the king, of course not. He says, then let's say you would. Let's say you turn around and turn your back to the king and say, yeah, how you doing? What would they do to you? He says, they chop my head off. She says, exactly, kal vachomer. If you would not, you know, stop talking to the king of fear of getting your head chopped off, whatever, and that's just an earthly king, all the more so when I'm talking to Melech, Malchei HaMalchim, all the more so that I didn't, turn around and talk to you. So it says that Miyad Nipayes Otosar, he was appeased, he accepted that, and then the Gemara concludes, V'niftar Oso Chasid LeBeito LeShalom. Simple pshat is, and he left, and he went home. End of story. Says the Peleoites that, no, what does it mean, v'niftar oto chasid lebeis alamo? Niftar as in nifter. He died. He died as a punishment for being over on v'nishmartim me'od l'nafsha seichem. In other words, the Tsar was right. He was right. He shouldn't have just davened when this guy was there with a sword. He could have chopped his head off. What was he doing? No. If you're not on the level, that's relying on an ace. You're not allowed to do that. You have to protect yourself. So he said, laughing, this chassid died because he wasn't careful with his life. Meaning, we see from here again, even he, this guy was a chassid. He was called, the Gemara calls him a chassid. Still, he wasn't on the madriga where he can rely on a nace and say, okay, I don't have to worry, this guy's not going to chop my head off when he might. Okay, so that's not for only for people on a higher level. We see from here that to be careful, and only people on higher levels are allowed to act with this level of bitachon. As the pasuk in this week's sedra, kidvar Hashem baza, Ves mitzvaso hefer hikares tikares chule, says that somebody who baza devar Hashem baza, he literally scorns Hashem, then he's in his mitzvahs, he's a mefer, then Hashem punishes him and he gets cut off hikares tikares. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya Simin Reish Mem Gimel Sif Vav says avon gadol hu levazos tamidei chachamim o lisnosa. He says it's a very big avera to mevazeh, belittle, whatever, talmidei chachamim, and to hate them, or hate them, and anybody that does so, v'chol mevazeh et hachachamim, ein lo chelek l'olam haba, they lose their chelek in the next world, v'hu bichlal, and it's included in this week's pasuk, ki dvar Hashem baza, as the pasuk concludes, hi kares ti kares. So there's a maisa, once with a fellow, who started having he had terrible headaches, and he couldn't get rid of them, and he went to this doctor, that doctor, and nothing, couldn't get away. So he decided to take a little different route, and he went to a gadol to get a bracha. So the gadol, instead of telling him maybe what doctor to see or what medicine to take, he started asking him things and says, tell him, maybe it's sent from Hashem, so he started talking, asking a question. He says, when did you start having these headaches? So he says, these headaches started actually at the Levaya of Moshe Feinstein. It was here in Yerushalayim, right? They flew the body here. And it was on Shushan Purim, here in Yerushalayim. And he said, I was at the Levaya, and then I started getting these headaches, and since then I couldn't get rid of these headaches. Ah, so God said, so maybe something to do with Moshe Feinstein, something that you need to, you're pogay in him or something. I wasn't like good friends with Moshe Feinstein, you know what I mean? I don't know, never was pogay in Moshe Feinstein, I don't know. So the Rav said, okay, fine, so, well, let's do Goral Agra. We'll open up the Chumash, whatever, and we'll see a pasuk it comes out to, and see, maybe that can help us find the problems in this dilemma. So they open up the Chumash, and it comes out to the pasuk in last week's sedra, right? Umadua lo yereisim ledaver biavdi b'Moshe. Why weren't you scared, of fear to speak about my servant Moshe? So the Rav says, okay, you got to think. Okay, happened at Ramoshe's Levaya. We opened up to the pasuk. How could you speak about Moshe, my servant? There's got to be some connection over here. Think. So the guy's thinking, he says, ah, of course. I said, no. So he said, I was at the Levaya, And as we said, it was Shushan Purim, and there was hesped after hesped after hesped, and there's throngs of people, and I was getting very annoyed. I said, it's Shushan Purim, you know. We're supposed to be celebrating, going out, you know, Shlachmanas, we have mitzvahs to do with Suda. And he's standing here, and says, so I started getting annoyed, and I said, it's not right. I said, I don't care whose Leviah this is. You know, you don't interrupt, you know, or break with all these thousands of people that ruin their Purim, you know. And I didn't just think it. I started telling people how I felt, you know, around me. Anyways, and then I got these tremendous headaches. And since then, I just sit around and said, okay, now that we solved that problem, so what's the solution? He says, gather together a minion, go to Rav Moshe's kever in Har Manuchos, and ask him for mechila. So that's what this Yid did. He got his minion together, went to the kever, asked him, Moshe Feinstein for mechila, and sure enough, his headaches disappeared. It says you have the set in the section the sedra with the mekoshesh eitzim, right? Vimtzu ish mekoshesh eitzim. He went out on Shabbos, collected wood, and he was taken in custody and given the chiyuv misa for being mechal Shabbos. So Chazal bring an opinion that who was this mekoshesh eitzim? It was Slavchad, and he was a tzaddik. What? He's doing this L'Shem Shemayim. He's Mechal al Shabbos, L'Shem Shemayim. L'Shem Shemayim. Because he did it b'chavanah in order to help Klal Yisrael. How so? Because he made a cheshbon. He says, you know, after this, the decree from the, you know, after the spies, that they have to be 40 years in the desert and get to the Anas of people, he was worried Klal Yisrael were going to say, we're not going to Eretz Yisrael, we're stuck here, so why do we have to keep the mitzvahs? We're not going to Eretz Yisrael anyways. So they're going to be lax in the mitzvahs, especially like Shemir Shabbos. And therefore, he wanted to show that no, it doesn't matter. In Israel, not Israel, we have to keep the mitzvahs. And therefore, he used dafka with mechal Shabbos bechavana that they would kill him, and people would see. You see, even though we're not in Israel, we still got to keep the mitzvahs. Why? So, Rav Reuben Karelenstein Shlita, he says, now, well, let's imagine, you know, Slavchad, right? They take him, they kill him, Chayamisa, and he goes to Shemayim, right? He gets a Shemayim. He says, what do you think the reaction, you know, he gets up there. He says, where's the road to Gan Eden? You know, this is it. I'm like, because they're bigger tzaddik than me. It was on Moser Nefesh be killed in order to, for Klal Yisrael, to show the importance of Shabbos, whatever. So, they probably told him, wait a second, just sit here. We want to show you something. And they started showing him movies of the future. They showed him the pictures of the first korban of the first base of Megdash, second korban, the second base of Megdash, Gzeras Tachvatat, the Inquisitions, the Shoah, the pogroms, this, all these things. And he's like, what are you showing these horror movies for? What's it got to do with me? So he says, enjoy. He says, this is you did this. I did. What's it got to do with me? It was after me, and what's it got to do with me? What I was most in effort for Klal Yisrael. I said, you don't understand. What do Chazal tell us? It says if Yisroel be shomer two Shabbases, then miyad nigalin, there would be the gula. They'd keep two Shabbases. It says the first Shabbos in the midbar was kept. This was the second Shabbos. If you wouldn't have been mechal Shabbos, that would have been the second Shabbos. Would have been miyad the gula. No korban beis hamikdash, no shoah, no nothing. It would have been the gula. That's it. Right here, you thought you're a big tzaddik. Oh, I'm going to show the importance of Shabbos. By mechal Shabbos, you avoided the gula from God. We're suffering thousands of years all because of you, because of your chal Shabbos. So we see from here that you should have asked a shayla. You think, you know, you're doing great things for Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's all very nice, but when you're doing something like radical like that, you know, going against the Torah, you can think it's L'Shem Shemayim, but before you do something like that, ask Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, ask a gadol, make sure what you're doing is right. Here he thought he's having something so great. Meanwhile, he caused all the chorbanos. Let's end off with one last idea. The end of Sedra is the Parsha of Tzitzis. And we have the pasuk v'losasur achrei levavgam v'achrei neichem. Shouldn't go after your heart, your eyes. And Chazals tell us that the eyes and the heart—they're the, you know, this causes of many, many averas, right? The eye sees, the heart desires, etc., and then the person dead. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Kaf Amud Beis. It says, Amru alav al malach hamavis, shekulo malei einayim. It says about the malach hamavis, he's full of eyes. Eye is all over, full of eyes. V'shas p'tiraso shel adam omed l'mala mirashasav. When a person sick is about to die, so the malach hamavis is standing there over his head. V'charbo shlufo b'yado, and his sword is open in his hand. The tipa shel mara tluyabo, and at the end there is a drop of poison. The end of this sword. Kaven shechola ro'el so mizdazea upoteach biv. When the sick person sees his malach hamavis, gets all shocked, and then he opens up his mouth, and then zorkola toch biv. He throws that drop of poison in his mouth. Mimena meis, and that causes the person to die. Mimena masriach, and because of that poison, his body rots. Mimena morikos, and because of that, his face turns like green, yellow color, or whatever. So the question is asked, why full of eyes? What's the significance? The malach hamavis is full of eyes. Well, what's the idea? So the Chasam Sofer used to say in the name of his Rebbe, Reb Nasan Adler, that he says that when a person is over on the Avera, Lo Sosura Chorei Levav Chorei Nechem, and a person looks at things which are Asr to look at, then he's giving eyes to the Malach HaMavis. Every time he looks at something he shouldn't be looking at, another eye pops up on the Malach HaMavis, his Malach HaMavis, another one. So Mele, when it comes his time to go, this Malach HaMavis is full of eyes of all the things, times this person looked at things he shouldn't have looked at. And then when he sees this Malach HaMavis full of eyes, the person Mizdazea, the Gemara says, he's shocked. Why is he shocked? Because he sees all these eyes. Where are all these eyes coming from? I caused it, right? From me looking at all these things I shouldn't have looked at, I gave all these eyes to this Malach HaMavis. It came from me. And he's shocked. And he opens up his mouth, and that's the poison goes in. That's why he's killed. So, clue with the little mice, there was once a woman that... a religious woman, she used to go to the beach, the separate beach, and she used to take her little kid with her, 2-year-old boy, to the beach. So her husband was not sure about, well, it was a good thing. Okay, he's just a little kid, he's only 2 years old, but maybe still he shouldn't be going, you know, where the ladies, you know, swimming and stuff like that. So the husband went to the Chazon Ish and asked him the shaila, is it okay if the boy goes? So the Chazon Ish said no. He says, tell your wife not to stop taking this boy to the beach with her, because even though he's just a little kid, he's like 2 years old, but you don't realize it, but all these things that he's seeing is going into his brain. And one day, when he gets older, he's going to want to sit and learn Torah. All these things are going to come back and mevalbel his das, and you'll see, he won't be able to sit and learn Torah properly. So if you want him to sit and learn, don't take him to the beach. So, okay, the husband's thing, and from then on, she didn't take him to the beach, but she had done until then. So the story goes that this family, they had 12 kids, right? Well, all the kids are all shtark and learning, not exactly many boys, but all the boys were shtark in yeshiva, whatever, and there's only one boy who wasn't able to get his act together and then sit and learn properly. Who was it? Boy that went to the beach when he was little. Because with the Shem, we should all... look at the right things. Look at Torah mitzvahs. We should lamate Yosef. We should come down to this world to do Torah mitzvahs and not lamate Menashe, to forget them and avoid being horses in our own right. Instead, act like malachim and bring the Melech Mashiach Tzimkenu b'mehirah b'yamin.